given to me. This is from one of the inmates up in the Mountain City Prison, where we have a ministry up there. And if you remember, some of you may not even know this, but every year, actually every month, we've got some men who go up there and visit in the prison. And then once a year around Christmas time, what we have is our church helps provide a meal for those who are in maximum security. And, you know, it's like an Arby's roast beef, and sounds pretty good right now, by the way, all these things. And we try to provide just a little thing for them, you know, some sanitary things, some things for hygiene. And they go cell to cell. And then the service that I'm going to be preaching at Sunday night, God willing, it's not maximum security. It's where they're able to come to the chapel. It's a different part of the, you know, different part of the prison. I hope you'll be praying about that. As a matter of fact, we'll pray about that in our prayer meeting here in just a moment. But this inmate wrote us a letter, and I want to read it to you. Because this letter right here, it may cause you to jump up and run the aisle. I'm not sure about that, but that'd be something here to hear this out. I want to read this to you now. If I sound a little bit broken English here, I'm just reading it just like he wrote it. So just stay with me. My name is Brandon Travis, number 381391. I'm an inmate at Northeast. I grew up in the projects of Knoxville, Tennessee. I've been tied into the streets in one form or another since I was in diapers, literally. My mom's a drug addict, prostitute, a drug-addicted prostitute, and my dad was never there. I've always been a firm believer that if you can't see it, touch it, smell it, or taste it, that it isn't there, and if it isn't there, it must not be real. I've been to church on a few occasions, mostly weddings or funerals. I've never really even given a serious thought to religion. Not until tonight, anyways. Let me tell you what happened after you all brought our delicious roast beef sandwiches, hygiene, and other snacks. Thanks, by the way, has in parentheses. It had me wondering why would strangers spend their hard-earned money on someone they didn't know, especially a bunch of convicted felons. And on top of that, people they didn't know who were convicted felons who were in the hole. When you all came in and sang and talked to us for a few minutes, I said to myself, these people really care. So the least I could do for all the trouble you all went through was read the track you had put in the bag. Now stay with me just a minute. This is a blessing. So I did, and I don't know what happened in the 5 minutes it took to get to the prayer. But when I got to the prayer, my legs gave way, and I was on my knees praying that very prayer, crying like a baby. I've never known Jesus Christ until this day. And if it wouldn't have been for you all taking the time to do what you did, I would have never known him at all. I don't know if you ever hear from your inmates, or have ever saved anyone else. Now, obviously, he thinks we saved him. It's the Lord that saved him. But I do know you've given me the most precious gift I've ever received. I do not have a Bible, but I promise as soon as I get one, I got a slight feeling that we might make sure he gets one, if you understand. I will read it every single day. I just wanted to write to you and your church and tell you all thank you very much. Love, your new brother in Christ, number 381391, Brandon Travis. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If that doesn't set you on fire, you would wait. You know what I mean? I mean, praise God. You know what that is? That's a targeted ministry in our church. It's targeting a specific group of people, those who are in the prison. Somebody says, and you know, there are people out there like this. Well, they deserve it. They deserve it. But aren't you glad you're not getting what you deserve? You understand what I mean? I'm talking about death and hell. Without the grace of God, we're all going to be burning in hell. And that when I read that, I don't know what was going through my mind, you know. I took it home today and let my wife read it. She told me later, she said, I read that and cried. That right there makes you want to keep on going up there. You know what I mean? I mean, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. And if we had the prison ministry for years And it only reached that one man right there. It's worth every single time that those men went up there. No doubt about it. And see, the emphasis on something like this is that man's salvation. Every person who has a hand in the prison ministry had a hand in that man's salvation. Nobody's going to convince me otherwise that God's not going to award all the men and ladies potentially who went up there to help give those meals out. It's not just the one who handed him his meal through his door. It's everybody who gave their time to go up and to give their time just to try to be a blessing. This man trusted Christ. In my opinion, God's going to reward all those people for what they tried to do to get the gospel out. And that's a good way to look at things, because I believe that's the way it is. You know, it's not a good way to look at it because I believe that. I'm just saying, God's going to award you with precious things, whether you see results or not. By the way, the results aren't in your hands anyway. God has to convict. God has to draw people to Himself. And when that person who is convicted and drawn to the Lord, when they choose to receive Christ as their Savior, He'll save them, change their life. And we give Him all the glory and all the praise. Amen. I appreciate you coming tonight. I really mean that. And again, we're getting ready to have a prayer meeting. Don't ever think that an abbreviated prayer meeting is a waste of time. It is not. Matter of fact, I choose to look at it this way. This could be the reason the Lord sent the snow. He might just want us to be prayed about some things tonight. We've got to be a church who stays on our knees, praying and asking God for His sweet presence. Sunday night was a great service. If you wasn't here, you missed it. Sunday morning, I thought I was wading through semen a little bit, but that's okay. You just faithfully preach the Word of God, you know what I mean? When you feel like it, when you don't, you preach. But sometimes you just feel a special touch. And Sunday night, God showed up. Praise the Lord. We don't even take that for granted. And there's so many things on my heart that I'm making a matter of prayer, and I want you to make it a matter of prayer. Matter of fact, how many of you are carrying a burden tonight? Would you raise your hand? You're carrying some kind of a burden. Yes. Sure. Let's pray about it. Let's ask God to help us. No doubt about it. The way I want to do this is I want to open my heart to you a little bit tonight. This is kind of a downtime. We're not broadcasting this. This is just you and your pastor. I feel sorry for you, by the way, that I'm your pastor, you know. But I want to just open my heart to you a little bit tonight, and I want to center our prayer meeting around the ministry of the church. And no doubt when we pray, somebody prays out loud in just a moment, no doubt you're going to be praying about specific burdens, and that's great. That's wonderful. And if you have something that you'd like for us to pray with you about, I'll give you an opportunity in just a moment to share that with us. Well, let me share with you what's on my heart, okay? And this is something that I did in Sunday school, but obviously I'm not going to take a long time here because I want to get to prayer. Tommy Sexton made a statement to me when he was here for our last SWORD conference. He'd been speaking to me along this line. He said, Jody, he said, there's a secret in the ministry. And he said, I want you to find it. He sent me on a journey, you know what I mean? And every time I'd see him or he'd call me or I'd call him, he'd say, have you found it yet? And I'd say, is it this? He said, that's good, but that's not it. So he kept me going and kept me going. The last time he preached here in a SWORD conference in the morning service, I was sitting there listening to him, and I was like, I think he's just preaching on it. After the service, I took him over to get his barbecue sandwich, and I was sitting there with him, and he said, have you figured it out yet? He said, oh, by the way, he said, I preached on it this morning. I said, I thought you did. Here's what he said. It's not really a secret, but when you hear it, when it really sinks in, it'll change your life. And here's what I'm going to give to you, because this is the heartbeat of your passion that I'm getting ready to give you. He said, the secret to the ministry is this. How many people will you look at in your area? In your area, how many people will you look at and say, God, if they don't hear it, not if they don't receive it, because we can't make them receive it, you see what I'm saying? But if they don't at least get the gospel, I'm talking about hear the gospel message, He said, how many people are you going to say, God, if they don't hear it, blame me? Put their blood on my hands. That's a powerful, powerful, powerful thought. Let me show you what I mean. When you start thinking to yourself, God, the results are in your hands. You've got to do the drawing. You've got to do the convicting. But he has commanded us to give the gospel to every creature. When you make a commitment to the Lord, God, if they don't get it, not if they don't receive it, I'm emphasizing that, but if they don't at least hear the gospel, if they don't have a gospel tract given to them or hear the message, blame me. You know what that does? It forces you to think outside the box. For instance, that's where these targeted ministries are coming along the scene. And I'm talking just a moment here because I'm hoping by 7:30 I can have you on your way. But I can talk about this all night, which means I've got to hurry. Let me just show you how God works with our special needs ministry. He even brought that up that same day. He said, Jody, he said, take for instance your special needs children. He said, let's just say that there's 40 in your area, 40 special needs children in your area. He said, more likely there's 40 families that are not going to church anywhere because they don't have anything for their children. You see what I'm saying? Why should a church like our church not be able to provide something for those parents for an hour and a half a day? I'm talking about on Sunday. So they can come into the auditorium, know their child's taken care of, right down the hallway, and they can come in here and hear the gospel. And what would happen to that family if the mom and daddy walked the aisle and trusted Christ as their Savior? When he made that statement to me, I was kind of already thinking along those lines, if I remember right. But that same week, it might have been that next day, but I know it was that same week, but I'm thinking it was just the next day. I was walking at Daniel Boone inside the school. I don't remember why I was there, but I was walking through the cafeteria. And keep in mind, he had just spoken to me about special needs. And as I walked through the cafeteria, there was a lady teacher there that I know. And she came out with two teenage boys who were special needs children. It was obvious when you saw them. And they were on each one of her arms. When one of them saw me, he broke away from her, came up to me, put his arm around my neck, and just stared at me. And it's like God said, uh-huh, this is me. Keep proceeding. You come back to the church, you say, church, I'd love to see something like this started. And you watch God work. And before you know it, four people have approached me and said, I've got an interest in that. I'll help you start it. You see what I'm saying? Reformers Unanimous, drug addicts, any kind of addiction. I've had it on my heart for a while. What are we doing? Drug addicts need Christ. Blame me if they don't hear the gospel. So what are we going to do? Provide something for their need to get them to Jesus Christ, you see. I had a specific couple in my mind in this church to take that ministry, but I'd never spoken to them about it one time, not one time. He approached me one Saturday morning after prayer meeting, this same guy that I've been thinking about taking the ministry. And he said, you know, he said, Preacher Lasher and I were talking about this ministry called Reformers Unanimous. He didn't know I was thinking about it. And he said, I'll tell you what, if you'll start it, my wife and I'll take it. And he's the very man and wife that I was praying and asking God and seeking the Lord that, God, we want to do this, and I believe they're the couple to do it. And I didn't even have to approach them. He's approached me and begging to do it. You tell me God's not in that kind of thing? Sure he is. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Aren't you glad somebody, somewhere, got it to you? Amen. By the way, every human being who is saved has a human thumbprint on it. What that means is this. That doesn't mean that you were saved by a human being. God saved you. But God uses human instrumentality to get the gospel around the world. That's what he does. And he wants to use us. And me personally, I see so many people we can reach with the gospel. And I want you to pray with me that God will show us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, where to do it. There's an opportunity opened up for us in Johnson City. There's a gentleman here tonight. I didn't get his permission to say this, so I'm not going to tell you who it is, but he's here tonight. And he's on fire for God. And he's giving the gospel out. He's going door to door. And he went to this certain place in Johnson City who houses the poorest of the poor people. And when he went in there, it's my understanding that he asked permission to go door to door. And the manager gave him permission. And then somewhere in the conversation, my understanding is that the lady told him, we've got a meeting room here too if you'd like to use it. Now what's that mean? You know what that means? I believe it's God seeing a church willing to go outside the box, if you will, a little bit. And saying, here's some lost people who are the poorest of the poor. And even if we can't get them here, it's not about getting them inside I'm talking about the walls of this church. Do you think God might be in her saying, oh, by the way, we've got a meeting room here that you can use if you want it? I dare say that we're probably going to start a chapel out there sometime in the very near future. Why? Because God, blame me if they don't at least hear it. Do you see what I'm talking about? I hope you do. This is what the Nehemiah wall is all about. It's about each person finding their niche, finding their section, finding their part of the wall that God wants them to tell those people about that, and those people about that, and those people the gospel, and those people the gospel. And I say this, we begin our prayer meeting. Whatever you've gone through, don't think that I'm happy about it. What I'm saying is there's people here tonight who've gone through some terrible things. Terrible things. And it's a good sign that you're here. Let me tell you why. You'll either get bitter or you'll let the Lord use it. Even if it's something that you didn't do or something you didn't choose for yourself, let me say something to you. God can use that to reach a targeted group of people who's going through the same thing. I had a couple come to me. The wife, I think, wrote it down on the card and so on. This couple, one of them has been through cancer, and I haven't gotten their permission to say this either. So again, you know, you don't know who it is, but just showing you how God's working. And they wrote down on their card out here for the Nehemiah wall that they have an interest in a targeted group, and underneath it said they're interested in helping people dealing with cancer. They've been there. They've done it. You see what I'm saying? Do you think that might be a ministry that God can use to get the gospel to people? Sure it is. Will we ever do it? I hope so. I'm praying about it. Pray that God will show us exactly what he wants us to do there. So I'm just letting you into my heart here a little bit. In a nutshell, this is my heartbeat. I want people to be saved. Lives to be changed. And in the meantime, the preaching of the word of God is hopefully building you up and training you in the ways of God and encouraging you to go forward and helping you in your trials. But then you're out and about trying to win people to Christ. Now, what I want to do is this. I want that to be our major thought in our prayer service as far as the work of the church, praying and begging God for his blessing on our life and ministry of our church, and keep the devil out, and may the Lord continuously be preeminent here. But if you have a prayer request that you'd like us to remember, I want you to feel free to share that, okay? So if you do, if you'll just raise your hand or stand right there at your seat and just share some of these things with us, we'll be happy to try to pray for as many of these as we can, okay? So you go right ahead. Yes. Miss Whitson had a blood clot. That's Doris Whitson. She had a blood clot and had surgery today, so we do need to pray for her and pray for this daughter, okay? Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes. Pray for Brother Bob's grandmother. She's lost. She needs the Lord. So let's pray for her, okay? All right? Anything else? Yes. Okay. Pray for Mr. Cornelius. He's hurt his back. And so on. I told him. I told you, but I also told him because he called the church here, so I spoke to him. I told him, I said, if you need surgery, I am a doctor. So Not that kind of one, though, you know. And then the Corneliuses are moving away from us. They're getting out of the will of God. And going and saying, I'm just kidding with you. They're going home to Alabama. He got a new job, so we'll say more about that in the future days, right before they leave. Okay? Anything else? Anything else? Yes. Yes. Pray for Brother Teddy. He's looking for a job, and we're believing that the Lord will give him one in his time. Okay? Anything else? All right, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to lead us in prayer, okay? And obviously I'm going to be praying out loud. But I'd like you, if possible, I realize some of you are just sitting alone and all that kind of stuff, but I'd like you to find a prayer partner. If you've got somebody there with you, it might be you and your spouse. It might be a friend. It might be a co-worker, a neighbor, whatever the case may be. It might be your family. But I want you to, as I pray out loud, I want you all to pray right there at your seat. One of you lead in prayer. And all that. You don't need to pray extremely loud. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying pray right there at your seat. You don't have to do this, okay? I don't believe in forcing people to do this and so on. But I would like you, if possible, to try to find a partner if it's possible. And I want us to pray about these things, these items. Miss Whitson, I'll just call these out so as the Lord brings them to your mind, you can pray for them. Mrs. Whitson with this surgery for the blood clot. This daughter, this neighbor, this son. All of them need encouragement, and some of them need to be drawn back to the Lord. Brother Bob's grandmother for salvation, Mr. Cornelius with his back, that family as they move to Alabama, Brother Teddy's that needs a job, and for the work of the church, that the devil will stay out of this thing, that the Lord will keep him out. Okay, he's not going to want to stay out, but the Lord can keep him out. So. Let's pray for the work of the church and all these kind of things. Okay? Anybody else right before we close in prayer? Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to shut my mouth a moment. I'll come back in just a moment. I'll conclude us in prayer. Let's go ahead and start our prayer meeting right now. Okay? Go right ahead. Father, it sounds great to hear your children praying. I pray as we're continuing in prayer here that every prayer that's being breathed in your name, that you'll hear it tonight. May the will of God be done. We thank you these special requests that were called off tonight, Lord. We ask that you'll minister to them and bless them in a great way. We thank you, Miss Whitson, tonight. Thank you for the warning signs that you give to the body. Lord, I thank you that they were able to go in with surgery, and Father, I pray that she's doing well tonight with this removal of the blood clot, and I pray that whatever may be going on in her life, whether it be her heart or whatever it is, I pray she'll give the doctors wisdom and direction, I pray. Pray our Father for Miss Wagner's daughter. I ask that you'll touch her, Lord, as she desires for her to get back in church, and I pray that you'll minister to her right where she's at tonight. Just speak to her, I pray. We ask, God, that you'll draw her to yourself. Pray, Lord, for Brother Archer's son. Lord, I ask that you'll touch his burden there. Thank you for his burden for his boy. I pray that you'll answer his prayers in a very real way, a specific way. May thy will be done. We pray, Father, for his neighbor who has cancer. He's a professing Christian, and I pray that you'll encourage his heart. May this be a very real time where you're very close to him, very real to him. May thy will be done in his life, I pray. Help us to be an encouragement to him, God willing, as we try to go see him. And Lord, we think of Brother Bob's grandmother. Oh, what a burden he's carrying for her. I thank you for the burden that you've given him. And Lord, we thank you for the power of prayer. And I pray tonight that as Brother Bob is witness to his grandmother on Christmas Day, I ask that you help her not to get away from the words that he said. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll take your word, you'll pierce her heart, help her to understand that it's not by works, but by grace. And I pray, our Father, that you'll help her to say yes to you before it's eternally too late. I pray, our Father, for Mr. Cornelius with his back problems, and I ask, Lord, that you'll help him as he said he's doing a little bit better today. I ask that you just encourage him and strengthen his body and help this back trouble, I pray. Excuse me. I pray for the Cornelius family as work is going to relocate them back closer to their home in Alabama. I pray, our Father, that you'll help this to be a move that's blessed by you. I pray, Lord, that you help them to find the church that you want them to go to. We pray for your will to be done in their life. Thank you for the short time that we've been able to meet them and have them in our church, and what they mean to us here. Help them to know that they can always come back home here, Lord. Then, our Father, we pray tonight for Brother Teddy. And thank you for him, and for his love for you and his family. I pray tonight that he needs a job. And Lord, the best we know how, we're believing you that you're going to give him a job. I pray that you'll provide the job that you have just for him. Close all other doors, open only the right door, I pray. Build his faith through this, I ask. Then, our Father, I pray for Debbie Davis, who's in Franklin Woods. As a matter of fact, she's been moved to medical center. I ask that you'll touch her tonight and encourage her. Pray for the nursery department, Lord, on this prayer list. All these dear ladies who work in there on a regular basis. Pray for Bus 11, Leroy Shepherd, William Stewart. All these workers, God, I pray that you'll touch them and help them and guide them and direct them. Bless their efforts, I pray. Pray for Brother Gordon Bernard and the death of his brother Don. The funeral will be Friday in Atlanta. I pray that you'll encourage them. Strengthen him as Lord, we met with him yesterday. His heart is broken. Knows his brother's with you now, but his heart is broken. I pray that you help him. Pray for those in the military, Chris Ryan, Chester Mosier, Chad Prosser. Pray that you protect them. Thank you for those that you've protected to bring back to us. Then, Lord, we think of our missionaries, Jose Martinez with the Hispanics. And pray for Kevin Jones in Russia, Perry Gibson in working with the Japanese in Washington. Pray that you bless these missionaries, meet their financial needs. Encourage them, strengthen their bodies, use them to get the gospel out. And Lord, I pray that you guide us as we try to pray for them and minister to them and support them. We think of our nursing home this week, the Wexford House, Ms. Melma Castle. We ask that you'll touch her and help her, encourage her and her family. Pray for our shut-in this week, Ms. Nora Curto. We ask that you'll bless her. Thank you for her sweet spirit, for her being faithful when she can be. And I ask that you help our folks to be faithful in ministering to her, praying for her. And then, Lord, I pray for the work of this church. We realize that this is not our church, it's yours. And I'm begging you tonight, God, that you keep your hand of blessing upon this place. And I pray, Father, that you'll keep the devil out. And may thy will be done. Pray for this potential open door with this apartment complex or housing place, whatever that is in Johnson City. Would you guide our thoughts? Pray for Reformers Unanimous, that you'll guide our thoughts there. Pray for the special needs ministry, that you'll guide us in that one. All these other ministries, Lord, that we're trying to launch and those that we're trying to keep going. I pray that you'll bless all these efforts. May the gospel be preached. May lives be changed and souls be saved. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help us to stay on our knees, trusting and believing it for what you're doing here. We give you the praise and glory for what you've done. And we we trust you that you're going to do other things and more things. We pray that you be glorified, honored, and praised in everything that's said and everything that's done. We love you this night. Thank you for loving us first. Bless us as we go home. May you keep us all safe, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got a frog in my throat up here. I'm sorry. I'm going to dismiss you here and get here in just a moment. Be very careful as you go home. Be much in prayer for the services on Sunday. And a reminder that Mr. Don Bernard, that's Gordon's brother, did pass away. They're going to Georgia, but that would be a good phone call for many of you to make. Maybe try to encourage them. It'd be a great thing, okay? God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. I hope you understand why I'm doing this. I'm trying to get you home safely. So we'll see you Sunday, the Lord willing. God bless you. Thank you. If you need to see me, I'll be here for just a few moments.